Mention to holy church leaders, especially in our Catholic Church, and I kind of adopt them as my mentors. And one of my mentors was Cardinal Joseph Bernardine, perhaps you've heard of him, the Archbishop of Chicago, and he died in November of 1996. His ministry, a very important part of his ministry, was about bringing Catholics together of varying viewpoints and bringing them to one table to find common ground. And that initiative is still 24 years, it'll be in November when he died. That initiative is still strong in the church, the Common Ground Initiative. After he was diagnosed with terminal pancreatic cancer, his ministry to the sick and the dying became so beautiful. And Cardinal Bernardine always said, "I never felt more a priest than in those last years of my life as I ministered to people who also had cancer." And when he was strong enough, he'd walk down the hallway of the hospital, and he would pray with his fellow sick sisters and brothers. In 1993, he was falsely accused of sexual abuse. And this young man, his name was Stephen Cook. And Stephen Cook admitted later on that he had made the whole thing up. And this was on top of his terminal cancer. To deal with this allegation was very, very tough for Cardinal Bernardine. But after this young man apologized, Cardinal Bernardine made a trip to Philadelphia and to meet with Stephen Cook and to tell him, "I forgive you. I forgive you." It's one of the more beautiful stories of reconciliation. And this is what Cardinal Bernardine said in a very brief homily. They celebrated Mass together, just the two of them. "In every family, there are times where there is hurt, anger, and alienation. But we cannot run away from our family. We have only one family. So we must make every effort to be reconciled. The church is our spiritual family. Once we become a member, we may be hurt or become alienated, but the church is still our family. Since there is no other, we must work at reconciliation." So Jesus reminds us of the centrality of reconciliation in the life of a disciple, in the life of a friend and follower of Jesus. And interestingly, he lays out for us a specific process for seeking reconciliation with those who have hurt us. I don't know about you, but I have difficult people in my life. I bet you do too. And at different points, we experience hurt or anger or alienation. So what do we do with those feelings? So Jesus recommends a hard process, a hard thing, but it's the best thing. And the first step is to go to that person and sit down with him or her and to have a heartfelt talk through whatever the difficulty is. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me rather than going to the person and having this difficult conversation. Sometimes we go around the person, huh? We talk behind his or her back. We bring in another person, like me, to somehow fix the situation or maybe to take a side. So I always say, "Have you had a conversation with him or her?" "Well, not really." "Well, I'm asking you to do that first." You know, my situations have always been in personnel, you know, where a parent comes to me and it's very disappointed or upset about a teacher in the Catholic school, and I'm supposed to fix it. I say, "Have you talked to the teacher?" Oh, no, Father." Well, this is the process. Go and talk to her. Go and talk to him. And if something doesn't happen, you can't resolve the situation, then come back and talk to me. So I always encourage that as a first step. You know, then I say, you know, "Okay, go to that person. Are you needing help with what you might say or how you might say it?" Then I might do that as well. So here's some pointers in terms of guidelines on how to operate in a conflict resolution process. Number one, remain calm. Remain calm and speak calmly. Once you raise your voice, because the other person might raise his or her voice, things go south. Remain calm. I would say number two, avoid using the pronoun you. You do this. You are so whatever. You make me so angry. Don't do that. Use I. I feel so hurt. I feel confused. I want to make things better between you and me. I promise to do this. I will do this. Sometimes it helps to give a concrete example. A son who is confronting his father about his drinking might say, Dad, I was so hoping you would be at my basketball game last night. I looked so hard in the stands, and I was so hurt that you didn't show up. Notice it's all pretty much I, and it's a really concrete example. Number four, I think it's very important to choose your words very carefully, because some words are like throwing fuel on the fire. You have to be careful. You really have to think it through. You might rehearse ahead of time. Number five, ask the person to simply listen, to hear you out. Listening is so important, because I'm asking you to give me this time. If you listen, then I'll listen to you. I'll listen back. But listening, without jumping to a judgment, without planning in my head what I'm going to say next, without becoming defensive. And then the last is to pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. That's how I do it. Come, Holy Spirit, and take a couple of deep breaths. Sometimes this strategy really works amazingly well. Sometimes it doesn't. What does Jesus then say? Jesus gives us the steps, right? The first step is always to go to the person. The second step is bring in a third person. Maybe it's a counselor, a deacon, a priest, someone who can be neutral, someone who is not going to take sides, someone who is going to just listen and maybe bring a point that no either person has thought about, to make objective observations. So that's the process Jesus gives. And if that doesn't seem to help, then Jesus says, bring in more people. And the example that I have of this is an intervention. Now, I have a background in counseling. So an intervention would be, so we have this person in our family who struggles with alcoholism. And we really would want him or her to get help. So what are we going to do? Our whole family is going to gather around him or her. We're going to think through very carefully how we're going to say things. We don't want to beat up the person. We want the person to get help. So that's when you might have, a whole family. It could be 10, 12 people in the room. And again, it's like, I felt so hurt. I miss having you in my life. Something like that, that can really open up a person's heart. So do you got the three steps so far? Really, it's a three-step process, and then Jesus says, I guess it's a fourth step. If none of this works, treat him, treat her as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Now, let me tell you this, though. I have to remind you that Jesus never gave up on Gentiles. Jesus never gave up on tax collectors. Jesus never stopped loving them. So you have to pray for that grace, to get rid of the inner animosity. Jesus didn't have any animosity towards anyone, and he never gave up on anyone. He always believed that people could change, that people could be better. And that's how we do this. So in conclusion, I'd just like to finish with this quotation. I'm sure you're all familiar with the great Nelson Mandela of South Africa. He became the first democratically elected leader of South Africa after years of apartheid, which was slavery, discrimination against black people by white people in South Africa in the 1980s. He was put on Robinson's Island in prison for 27 years because he was a prophet and he spoke truth to power. And this is when as he was leaving prison after 27 years, this is what he said. As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. I always remember this as a beautiful quote from the great, great Mandela, Nelson Mandela.